You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. The new international trade crossing, the Gordie Howe Bridge between Detroit and Windsor, seemed to be making all kinds of progress. And then after lots of foot-dragging in Lansing and in Washington, the Canadian government just said, fine, we'll pay for it, all of it, and we'll make it back in tolls over decades. So the Canadians built approaches on their side of the Detroit River. Michigan was supposed to be buying up the necessary property on the U.S. side. Progress was being made. And then everything kind of stalled. Ann Jarvis with the Windsor Star newspaper recently looked into the delays, and she joins us now. You write that the Windsor-Detroit Bridge Authority's job was seeming to go from getting the Gordie Howe built to explaining why it wasn't being built. A short list of bidders was late. It wasn't until yesterday that a request for proposals was officially put out, nearly 11 months behind schedule.
Yes, the chairperson, chairman of the interim chairman, that is, of the Bridge Authority is Dwight Duncan. He's the former Ontario Finance Minister. And he finally came out in July and said that he will not be held to a date. And that was the first time that that had happened. The reason that he gave was that the difficulty, the risk in getting the land in Michigan. He said that, of course, the Bridge Authority does not have all the land needed in Michigan, that it's depending on the state to get that land, and no one was sure how long it would take if owners like Matty Maroon, who owns about 20, I believe, of 29 key properties, this is according to Duncan. And Mr. Maroon, by the way, of course, owns the Ambassador Bridge, has a monopoly on that international truck traffic, and obviously has fought fiercely to keep it. So, you know, no one was sure how long it would take if property owners like Maroon fought the condemnation.
I want to get a little more into that a little later, but I want to talk about a couple of other things first. You note in your rather detailed report that there's been some personnel turnover at the Bridge Authority. How has that affected progress?
Well, yes, there has been significant turnover among key senior personnel, so you would have to think that that's disruptive. Their corporate counsel was John Nader. He's a former City of Detroit lawyer. He's gone. He's very, very well-versed on the International Bridge and on the risks in dealing with the Maroon family. So, you know, one would think that that's a loss. Another sort of key person was Mark Galvin. He was the former general manager of the Windsor-Detroit Tunnel for 8 years. And also worked on the City of Windsor's GreenLink project, which was an alternative proposal for the city's new route to the border. So he knows this border very, very well. He was director of plazas at the Bridge Authority, but he left less than a year after being hired.
Before we get to this land issue that you were mentioning earlier, one estimate of the cost of the bridge has it doubled because the Canadian dollar lost ground, although it didn't lose that much ground. How much of a factor is currency fluctuation in this delay?
Well, Dwight Duncan, the Bridge Authority chair, is saying that this is not a factor, and it shouldn't be, because we know that the currency fluctuates all the time, especially in Windsor. We know this because we shop over the border all the time.
Thank you very much, by the way.
You know, the original estimate was 2.1 billion U.S., and that was at one point was supposed to have reached as high as 4.8 billion Canadian, largely because of the plunging dollar. But again, this is the risk. We know this. This should be something that is not a surprise.
You mentioned Matty Maroon and his family, the owners of the Ambassador Bridge. They have now hired lobbyists in the Canadian capital, trying to convince officials in Ottawa to back a plan for their twin span next to the Ambassador. You wrote, one official says the Maroon family smells blood in the water. What does that ultimately mean for the Gordie Howe project?
Well, I don't know what it ultimately means. The lobbyists that they hired were from a very influential firm, and when they say that they are lobbying for their twin span, what they're also lobbying for is not to have the Gordie Howe. I mean, they want the twin span. They do not want the Gordie Howe. And this is, you know, the first time in a decade that one of the Ambassador Bridge companies has registered lobbyists in Ottawa. And you have to wonder why suddenly this has started. Do they, as our MP put it, do they smell blood in the water?
Now, the land issue that you were talking about, the state of Michigan is supposed to be making offers for properties in Delray next month, which you have to wonder why it's taken that long. The city of Detroit has not granted easements to the state, you reported. You also note that the land swap that Detroit Mayor Duggan approved, granting the Maroons the land that they want for the Ambassador Twin Span, seems a little suspect by some observers. Detroit wants some guarantees from the state as far as community benefits for affecting the neighborhood. So is Detroit causing some of this delay?
The jurisdictional transfer, which is what they call the transfer of these roads and easements to the state, is my understanding. I'm told that this was supposed to happen a while ago, and, you know, clearly has not happened yet. It keeps getting pushed back, as one of the council members told me. And these are transfers that they need early in the project, not late in the project either, I understand. So you have to think that's a factor.
So the Maroon family doesn't want the Gordie Howe. They want a twin span along their Ambassador Bridge. Duggan seems to be holding out for certain guarantees for Detroit. Trudeau doesn't seem to be as determined as Harper was to build the Gordie Howe. Now that the RFPs are out, does this mean everything is back on schedule or not?
Well, you know, if Michigan gets all of its offers out by the end of December, which the governor's office says that it will, but that doesn't necessarily mean that everything will be back on track, does it? I mean, you know, the RFP, after you issue the RFP, you're looking at about 18 months to review for the shortlist bidders.
Yeah, right. This bridge is not going to get built by 2020 as planned.
No. Clearly, it's not going to be 2020. It's 18 months until you start construction, at least, after the RFP, and that's if there are no further delays. I mean, we said that the request for qualifications was to go out last December, and it did not, and that was immediately to be followed by the RFP, and it was not. So who's to say that it will just be 18 months after the RFP is issued?
Well, Canada's got a lot of approaches and ramps and other things. We've got $2 billion worth of concrete prepared for this thing. It'd be a shame to lose all that money just because they can't get their act together. Ann Jarvis wrote the story, Behind the Bridge, Clock Ticking on the New Windsor-Detroit Crossing, published in the Windsor Star. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you, Lester.